Blog Talk Radio.
Johnson is deep and I'm trying to duck.
Trying to make it real compared to what? Our bumper opening tune this evening by none other than the great iconic Al Jarreau. And of course, that is a remake actually. Compared to what? That goes back, oh my God, I could just... think about some of my childhood and some of my old heads that was around me, and you know, just brings back good memories. Eddie Harris and those guys, you know, those are the real musicians, not like what we're dealing with now. And of course, if you don't understand that, you know, look it up. In fact, it was covered by a number of players that are iconic. Roberta Flack, even John tried to get into it. I'm talking about John Legend a little bit, Ray Charles. But that is an iconic song, and if you don't understand it, well, you know, you got to have a little bit of soul on you to get on it. But I thought it was very apropos. As I said, originally Eddie Harris, Les McCann, you know, some of those old school guys originally did that. And I thought it was apropos for this evening's program, folks, because in the broad scope of things that are going on today, and you hear me week in and week out on this program, you know, talk about, as the great speak about iconic, Marvin Gaye would say, what's going on? He didn't say what the hell's going on, but I'm sure it was probably in his spirit, if not in his mind. And there's just a bunch of mess going on. And, well, to the effect, as I said, Marvin Gaye was singing those lyrics some, I don't know how many decades ago, four, you know. This is nothing new. Of course, Solomon said that, right? There's nothing new under the sun. It just takes on a different flavor, so to speak. Yeah, same juice. So this evening, we're going to do a little compared to what? From a health perspective and a wellness perspective, holistically, of course. Those who know me, that's what I'm about. We're going to delve into a little bit of what's happening on the societal scene. So I'm going to bring some excerpts to you from some things I've gotten across the web over the past week or weeks, I should say. Last week, I played a piece on the WHO. If you missed last week's program, go ahead and get on your internet and pull up blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and you're going to get a live interview with Michelle Bachman. And I had actually done an excerpt with Michelle, an excerpt interview on Michelle's visit to the World Health Organization when they had their meeting, their annual meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, and she basically whistle blew what was going on and things that are happening. And she talked about some things that I'm sure most people have no idea of, and we don't hear enough about it in the mainstream. And that tells you a lot. I mean, forget left wing, right wing. I always say it's the same bird, folks. And, you know, When folks talk about flipping the bird, we know this is a family program, what we're talking about. So, you know, I don't deep dive into either side. I just try to keep it real. Compared to what? We were talking about digital passports and the like, QR, digital passports. In order to do anything, you're going to have to, you know, have one, let them have their way. Basically, it's an identifier. You know, there was some talk going around about two decades, three decades ago. You remember the 666, you got to have the mark of the six. You know, you got to have a mark in order to do anything or go anywhere or buy anything. Well, it's kind of coming to reality. You know, they're talking about putting chips under the skin. So, you know, there's going to be currency. And you want to, you know, get into a supermarket or get on a plane or a bus or, you know, you got to pass your wrist. There was actually a movie that was similarly done about that type of thing. So we must be aware of what's going on. I mean, this is fortunately a country for the people, by the people, and of the people. Still, we are not completely become totally fascist in our existence. But the Mongols are certainly pursuing it. And I believe those that are in leadership right now at the highest levels are leaning in that direction. So this evening, it's about being holistic, because everything starts with, guess what, as Michael said, Michael Jackson, the man or woman in the mirror. So I have several excerpts this evening that we're going to be doing from programs that I've tuned into. So much information. If one thing wasn't said that was very true, that was said that was very true, it is we truly are in the information age. In fact, I would dare say it's information overload. You could easily stay up 24 hours just pulling things off, you know, the web and wherever browser you like, you know, Google or Edge or Yahoo, whatever it is. And of course, you know, the algorithms are set up such that once you tune into one thing, you're going to get floated to you other like things, so you can just, you know, keep your head filled. But I try to be discerning, not so much reactionary. I try to create the reality that I live, being aware of who I am, whom and whom I am, whose I am. So I'm going to start this off just talking about energy. As we've said many times, everything is energy and energy is everything. Reminds me of our friend, my mentor and colleague, Dr. Master Glenn Mendoza. And he talks about energy being everything and everything being energy, along with many other of our guests, including my iconic icon of a mentor, Mr. Dick Gregory, talked about energy and the universal God. And it truly is, if you get into depth of any level about the reality of what is, you have to come back to energy. And so I'm going to just play a little bit of an excerpt for you about energy, just about energy. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Bob Proctor, a brilliant guy. And you can look him up and find tens and hundreds of hours of his work. But he has a thought on energy, and I just pulled a little excerpt. I'm going to just share it with everyone, and then we're going to come back and talk about some other very important health matters. But he talks about energy and vibration, and so let's get right into this. Mm-hmm.
You know this thing you're living in vibrates. It glows. There is an aura of energy around your body. That is the cells leaving your body. Your body changes at the rate of about 50,000 cells per second. As cells leave the body, new ones are created. And you know you can photograph the energy leaving the body. Semyon Kurlian perfected the form of photography where he could take and photograph mass, and the rays of energy coming from the body would penetrate the camera, and you'd actually catch it on the film. And you'd photograph the density and the color of it. And you know, as the image in a person's mind changes, the vibration of their body changes, and the density and the color of this energy changes, and changes dramatically. Do you know you've even got a mental faculty where you can start to feel that energy coming from a person, and you can determine the mood they're in very, very quickly. You can virtually read what's going on inside an individual.
How about that, folks? How about that? That's pretty deep, right? Pretty deep. And it is so, so very true. And we're really, as a society, coming to a quickening of that awareness. So I'm sure virtually all of the listeners here are somewhat aware. Hundreds of thousands of books. Remember that book that came out that was, I mean, you know, was it Rhonda Byrne, The Secret? And, you know, talking about intention. So this is where our society is really heading. Of course, as I mentioned, we have Dr. Master Glenn Mendoza, pranic healer. That's basically energy. I'm certified and still studying. It's truly an art, not just a science, but it is a science now. And so when we think about things like vaccines and MNR-related vaccines, you're talking about altering our DNA, you just have to say, is science going too far? Because as science delves deeper and deeper into altering states, that was a movie, if anyone remembers, altered states. I find that there's always a counterbalance. And so as we understand this whole concept of energy, we're finding more and more of these scientists are delving more into altering our states. And a lot of this is leading into this AI, artificial intelligence. And where that's headed, and that from some perspectives can be scary in terms of what's happening and the intelligence thereof. So we have to be very vigilant in understanding this, because it's already on the track, moving down the rails. And as I said, one of the things we'll need to do to be able to have some type of input and control is to understand ourselves at a deeper, more natural level. And that'll be our counter. With regard to the vaccines, have any of you noticed anyone suddenly dying around you? Yeah, I know you have. And when I say suddenly, this isn't just, yeah, grandmom or granddad or auntie or uncle or, you know, distant second auntie or great auntie or uncle or mom or dad or elder sister, elder brother, just, you know, passing from some chronic situation. These are sudden deaths. And we're seeing more and more studies on the horizon that are saying, is this linked not just to the vaccines that we went through the last 3 or 4 years, but things even prior to that and other medical influences. So I'm going to be sharing some other excerpts this evening related to that in the next half an hour that I think you're going to find interesting. And what disappoints me more than anything is when you start influencing children. See, that's a hot button for me, as I'm sure it is for many of you. Not that when you start harming our seniors and our elders and our golden agers, you know, that's to be taken lightly, or anyone in between for that matter. But when you start snuffing children, I draw the line. In fact, politically, I take a stance on that. I didn't always think this way, folks, especially my homies who knew me back in the day, right? You know, you're out there, and I'm glad to know you're tuning in. You're starting to tune in, and eventually you're going to be calling in. By the way, the lines are open now. We're live, folks. We're back. Productive News is back. So if you have comments on what we're talking about this evening, 347-838-9142. Let us know what's on your mind. Keep it real. Keep it live. So when you start impacting the children, I was reading an article. I do a lot of reading. I have no spare time, so I would say in the spare time, but I'd be lying, and I try to avoid that at all costs. I wasn't always this way, folks. Like I said, some of my homies can attest to that, not to mention my wife. But I have to, and my family, of course, who know me forever. But as we grow older, we're designed to evolve. And if you're not evolving, then you're regressing. There's no fence. There really is no standing still. You're moving in one direction or another. It goes back to the energy you just heard Bob Proctor talk about. You know, he talked about the trillions of cells constantly evolving and shedding, and new ones evolving, but nothing is standing still. And guess what? All those cells have intelligence. That's what makes our energy, well, I would submit, different from the energy of basic mass and matter. Like the mass that produces something as simple as a table or a chair. Well, there might be some intelligence there, but not like the atoms that exist in the human genome. So I was just reading an article, and I just want to just read just a small excerpt. And this goes back last year, but ever so relevant now. And it was from an article in the Verve Times. You can look it up. And it goes like this. Why the rush for toddler vaccines? Now, this was asked by the Wall Street Journal editorial board member, Alyssa Finley. And again, this is from last year. And many are asking the same question, and were asking the same question at that time. I'm so glad the Wall Street Journal had the courage to print this. So last year, in mid-June or mid-year last year, the United States became the first country in the world to grant emergency use authorization, also known as EUA, for Pfizer and Moderna's COVID jabs for toddlers as young as 6 months. Now, don't misunderstand me. If there are any doctors out there, please, you're welcome to join in. I'm not a doctor, but I have something that many doctors don't have. good logic and common sense. It doesn't matter whether you're a rocket scientist or a doctor or an engineer, architect, accountant. It doesn't matter. If you don't have good logic and common sense threaded with morals, I'm going to use some technical language. You ain't sugar, honey, iced tea. Just Mr. Clark's perspective. And sugar, honey, iced tea is just, you know, sort of an acronym. It's just Mr. Clark's perspective. Doesn't matter. And I know, having experienced it in not all those professions, but more than a few situations where as much knowledge, book knowledge, as a person has had, they've proven to me to lack good common sense. And if you don't have good common sense, then you don't have good judgment. And if you don't have good judgment, I don't care what your profession is. You can be, like I said, architect, engineer, doctor, lawyer. You're not representing what you were designed to represent in the field in which you have studied. And therefore, somewhere along the line, you're going to screw up. And because those professions are professions that are footholds of our society and its existence, then you're going to screw a lot of people up. So I come back to this EUA, Emergency Use Authorization, for Pfizer and Moderna's COVID jabs for toddlers as young as 6 months, with, I'm sure, many medical professionals saying, well, we're protecting the toddlers. Well, we'll see about that, won't we? As more and more we're finding repercussions that apparently are coming from the vaccines. Now, I mentioned editorial board member from the Wall Street Journal, and I'll mention the name because it's no secret, Alyssa Finley. She's a research journalist, so she's done some work. She said, two children in Pfizer's pediatric trial developed most serious infections, also tested positive for other viruses. Another telling statistic is that the number of toddlers hospitalized with COVID between, 2020 and 2021 was about half the total number of toddlers hospitalized with influenza in the previous winter. All this data comes from the CDC. So they're fully aware of how the COVID risk compares to other common infections. Finley goes on to discuss effectiveness, noting that while the shots initially seem to offer robust protection for adults, the same cannot be said for children. Moderna's shot was only 51% effective against systematic Omicron infection in 6-month-olds to 2-year-olds, and a mere 37% effective in 2 to 5-year-olds. This is lower than what we normally accept for vaccines, which makes the authorization even more irrational. That's just a little excerpt about this, unproven vaccine. It's experimental vaccine. Now, I'm not trying to disparage anyone individual, and I'm not trying to tell anyone not to take the vaccine. I'm just stating some information that I've come across. I was reading another article about the vaccines. 95% of corpses had received COVID vaccination within 2 weeks of death, per a funeral director. This came from the Epoch Times last year. A funeral director from New Zealand says that 95% of the corpses he had been seeing had received a COVID-19 vaccine within 2 weeks of their passing away. 95% of the people who have passed away through the work that I've done, he said, have been vaccinated within 2 weeks. That's interesting statistics. He goes on record saying this. I'm going to dare say that we need to keep an eye on what's going on. We all know about myocarditis, right? And Hamlin, the athlete, and many others. We know about, well, we haven't heard any other news about LeBron James' son, who just fell out on the floor. These are well-trained athletes. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, she's been informing the public about dangers of vaccines for over two decades. She weighed in on the testimony of the funeral director. She says on December 2nd, UK 2020, UK regulators granted emergency use authorization to Pfizer's COVID-19 shot. Within a week, Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency Chief Executive Officer said in a statement that any person with a history of anaphylaxis due to a vaccine, anaphylaxis to a vaccine, medicine, or food should not receive the BioNTech vaccine from Pfizer. She went on to say that allergic reactions had not been a feature of Pfizer's clinical trials. However, Tenpenny further noted that anaphylaxis was the first identified risk. Pfizer was forced to release their findings by a Texas federal judge in January of 2022. The first identified risk is anaphylaxis. Boom. In a risk survey conducted between December 1, 2020 and February 28, 2021, a mere 3 months, 1,833 cases of anaphylaxis have been observed and 4 injured individuals died on that same issue. I could go on and on about various articles about this. It's what the walkaway is, that we need to be very, very aware of our so-called watchdogs, what we're being told, and I say question everything. You have every right, and I think it's your responsibility. As adults, you are overseeing your elders, you're overseeing children, and you have a responsibility to question everything. And the proof of the matter is your good common sense and logic sprinkled with a significant amount of truth and morality tells you. You know this just from looking at what's going on around you. Your logic tells you that the leaders of this world, of this country, and I say world because of what you heard on last week's program, go on blogradio.com/Renford, listen to last week's program and the week before to get a significant excerpt of the interview of what's happening at the World Health Organization. It's a global level. On a level here at the home front, these United States, there are just so many indicators. I mean, what happened at the Wuhan and the NIH's relationship and Tony Fauci's relationship and what's coming out with that? We're going to get a little political, you know, we're going to have to do that every now and then, especially with what's happening now in our political scene with, you know, this politicized justice system that's going on. It's egregious what's happening now. But just looking back, last 3 years, this is all karma. What's happened in Maui? Use your common sense. Got an island. You've seen the pictures. They're all over the web. They're all over the mainstream. That island roasted. I'm hearing stories of porcelain melting. That's some pretty hot fire, to the point where I've had a doctor tell me that they are looking at doing some studies. Can wood, I mean, we basically, that's what we're talking about. Some, there were some other things that of course, were heated and burned that maybe created greater degrees of heat. But other than that, you know, this fire that just raged across the island, the chemicals that came from that, would that have that type of consistency to do that? And what happened with the warning system? And why are we now having all these investors coming in who've been trying to get some of this land for decades upon decades that are now looking to invest in this land? It's a suspect. And I question it. And if you can't question what's happening in your society, then you're in a fascist society. That's why I have a whole issue with all these crazy indictments. And I think they are, some of them at least, very much crazy. I'm talking about our former president, Donald Trump. I just think it's just weaponized. Justice system weaponized from the person and individuals who are in office against someone who's running against them. That is, if you've heard the term, things of a banana republic, that's what you hear of a dictatorship, and Baby Doc, and those kinds of places where you have, you know, a group of individuals that are politically placed that will do whatever they believe is necessary to prevent anyone from opposing them. And that's what I see. That's my good logic and common sense with truth. That's what it's telling me. So when I see these kinds of things, and that was on the heels of a person coming in office and obviously being compromised with a country that doesn't have our interest in mind, and this Green New Deal, basically a means of funneling money to China, these electric vehicles basically being China vehicles. You can't have one without investing in China. All the batteries are made there. It just seems logically sensible to me that this guy is compromised, and I think about his son. And I think this is going to break. You heard it here maybe first, that what's happening with this Donald Trump indictment is an attempt to distract from what's happening with these Bidens and what they're finding out about Hunter and classified documents in Chinatown and University of Pennsylvania being funded significantly by China, and it's there's a lot to be said, and you're not hearing anything about it. China being in Cuba, which is right on our border, and you're not hearing that in your mainstream. You're not even hearing it left or right wing. It's going to be up to us, folks, to be very aware of what's going on. But I do believe wholeheartedly what's happening now at the highest level of our nation is a compromise. And it appears to me that everything they're accusing the former president of is what they have done or are doing. And I believe America is waking up very quickly. It's not me. If I do another, not one more program, get on your internet. Millions of people are getting it. They're understanding it. It's, you know, talk about a wildfire. I'm a grain of sand compared to the information that's being moved. And if you're not aware of it, your head is in the sand, because people are waking up quickly to what's really going on in our White House. So find out what's happening, not just for you, but especially for our children. We don't want to look up and find out that our country has been sold out from up under us. It doesn't have to be. Fortunately, there's still hope. There's still a chance. And if I can't say I believe that the election was rigged, then this isn't the United States of America that it was designed to be. I have every right to say that from my First Amendment rights. But there are those in council culture that would say, we can't have that. Be careful. Now, you have every right to tune off this program, but you don't have a right to tell me to tune my program off, because it doesn't agree with your agenda. And how 1%, I'm talking about my LGBT, XYZQ fellow citizens, can drive an agenda for 60-70%. No, that's a coup. And it started pre-Obama. I'll go back to Clinton. But then I believe Obama exacerbated that agenda. And that's coming out too, which I think in the months ahead, a lot of information is going to be coming out, and not just conspiracy theories. So if you keep your ears to the ground and not be biased and have your eyes glazed over by one source of information, you will be enlightened. Speaking of children, I'm going to play an excerpt, and we'll close on this one, from an interview I heard on one of the streaming programs. And it's about adulterated food. And what's particularly troubling was baby food. And I myself believe that we should be, as responsible adults, knowing what's now going on with GMO food. And if you've listened to this program, then you know what I'm talking about. So I'm talking to my candid listeners right now. Because if you've listened to me for the last 10 years, then you know the importance of non-adulterated food, non-GMO food. So for the children I've been able to influence, including my own, I've made sure that I pureed my own food for them. And occasionally I have gone into Gerber and Beech Nut, you know, for urgent situations. But as much as possible, I've always tried to basically puree, you know, their food ourselves. Wake up, folks. Our generations, our upcoming generations, well, prior to the most recent, the most recent, look out for Generation Z. They ain't playing around because they get it. They see it. You know, and that's my children and my nieces and nephews. So I make sure they know what's going on. That's why I say you can't stop it. If I don't do another program, it's on. It's a raging fire that these kids are coming with. They know what's going on. Half of them are vegetarians. Half of them, if you got GMO anywhere near your food or canola, they ain't buying it. People we need to be concerned with is our millennials. That's my take. Need to be very careful of that gen. But our Gen Xers and Gen Zers, only problem with that, Jen, not to stereotype, is some of them are, you know, spoon feeders, you know, because the previous generations have had access to so much that they don't, a lot of them don't have the appreciation. But the ones that do are going to make up for the ones that don't. So let's just listen to a little excerpt from something else that I've got here for you. I told you we're gonna be rolling tonight. I told you that, and that's Low Ebonics for you. All right, here we go. This is from Aubrey Shines.
Hello and welcome to America Shines. I'm your host, Aubrey Shines. For a very long time now, farmers have been gambling on outside factors like weather and soil properties to gauge a good yield. Now, on some farms, machinery drives, along with property outfitted with GPS technology and maps of fields measuring the application of fertilizer or the yield of the harvest, these individuals are now in trouble. Computers are now, they sit on these harvest machines collecting thousands of data points to paint a unique portrait of the land. The line between food production and science is beginning to blur. But the outcome is clear. There are outside human sources that are trying to influence not only the amount of food available, but also the type of foods that we are allowed to consume, and even the way we'll be allowed to cook it. Is our food going to be grown in a lab? Will vaccines be added to our food supply? Will we be eating insects, actually, at least they're suggesting that we do this? One thing is for sure, things are changing. And in my opinion, it's not all for the better. Today, we have assembled a few experts in the field to discuss one of the life's most basic needs, food. First up is Katie Talento, who is the Executive Director of Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. I love this organization. By the way, Katie, I'm going to bring you right in. I read your article over at Town Hall just several weeks back, really addressing what's going on with our babies, what are our babies consuming, and I thought, no, this is the perfect person here. Take a moment. We'll make sure that article, by the way, Katie, is put up everywhere. Why such a concern there? Why should every American be concerned on that topic? Katie.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Aubrey. This is such an important topic. You know, when you walk into a grocery store and you're a parent, you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandmother, you walk into that grocery store, the shelves are riddled with baby foods that are contaminated with heavy metals in amounts that would be damaging to IQ, to development, and causing many other health conditions. These are toxic heavy metals. Just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, Bloomberg Law did a study. They lab tested 33 baby foods for heavy metals, and all but one of them, Aubrey, were contaminated with these heavy metals. And when I say heavy metals, I'm talking about lead, arsenic, cadmium. These are dangerous foods, and the FDA has known about this problem for for decades. They've been badgered by Congress and many consumer watchdog groups for decades, and they haven't done a thing. They've issued non-binding guidance. They won't even do that. They won't even finalize that. It's terrifying. And that's just one of many areas where the FDA has simply declared a war on children. It's scary.
Katie, wait, Katie, because this is mind-blowing to me. And even though, by the way, I read that report, and I was shocked. My mind began to just really, I think, play tricks on me. I'm often in the EU, and I noticed something. Some of the chemicals that I see on the product there, we may sell the same product here in this country. The EU doesn't allow it. And so when I hear you say things like, well, the FDA is cognitive of this, maybe I'm just, I don't know, out to lunch here on this question. Please bear with me. Why should there be any metals in our food at all? I mean, what? Is there a certain amount of metal that, I don't know, that God created us that we need to ingest into our bodies? I don't think so. So why is there any metal? Why is there any arsenic? Why are these things not talked about? Why are they not put on our labels? Can you help us understand this? This is pretty sickening.
Well, you're exactly right, Aubrey. You know, for many years as a conservative working in health policy, you know, we were taught that Europe wasn't the gold standard, right? We don't base our policies on what Europe does, heaven forbid. But I'll tell you, when it comes to food and consumer protection, the EU has a far more rigorous approach. And if you'll see that over in Europe, you do not have the obesity problems. You do not have the poisoning that we see from glyphosate, which is basically Roundup, produced by Monsanto. You don't have the forever chemicals in everyone's water, and you definitely don't have heavy metals in baby food. I mean, it's just not allowed there, and as a result, they do not have some of the serious health problems that we are experiencing that have skyrocketed in recent decades. Something changed. It's not just genetics, and it's not just that we're moving less. Something serious has entered our environment that is hurting and killing us, and when it starts to move into our children, that is unacceptable. And the FDA, you know, you ask why this is possible. The FDA has been totally captured by corporate interests. It's scary, and the conflicts of interest are unacceptable.
You know, Kitty, I did a few reports on this. I actually did a lecture once, and part of the lecture at a certain university, we were talking about some of these things of this magnitude. I don't want to give it all away because I want to bring that up in my next segment with you. Why, again, if the FDA is being controlled by some of these larger corporations, and we have the data to prove it, I think a lot of Americans aren't aware of that. Again, where are our Congress guys and girls? I know that you've been engaged in politics for a few days in your life. Why is there no one screaming to the top of their voice, this is killing our kids? Which, by the way, is then impacting moms and dads because they're having to take care of a lot of kids that are sick. Maybe this is some of the reason we're seeing some of the challenges in so many lives here in America because we're consuming a bunch of poison in our bodies. Katie, am I off track for even thinking that way?
Not a little bit off track. I've been in Washington for many, many years, and the problem here in this town with Congress and the regulatory agencies is absolute capture by corporate interest. When you're talking about Congress and politicians, the drug industry spends almost $1 billion in lobbying every year. They far outpace lobbying spending than any other industry. And then you have the food industry. The big food industry is terrifying in their power. They are massive donors when it comes to agriculture states especially, so you'll get farm state senators who are great on everything else but are terrible on protecting our food supply from these giant corporate interests. And part of the problem is that, you know, these big ag companies and chemical companies like DuPont and Monsanto, they have taken over small farms. They have bought these farms or they've held a gun to these farmers' heads and forced them to use their GMO seeds. I mean, it is a total takeover. And how this happens at our regulatory agencies is these bureaucrats and appointees, they go right after they leave the FDA or USDA or EPA. They leave those agencies and they go right into industry. They're very valuable for industry. They know exactly how the agency works and they have lots of friends still in the agency. The worst example of this in recent memory is the FDA commissioner himself, Scott Gottlieb, under President Trump, went straight to the board of Pfizer immediately after serving. It's scary.
Yeah, you know, that's always, full disclosure, I traveled within the candidate Trump, and there are some that are courting me even as I speak to you right now to say, hey, let's kind of have a reunion here. But these issues here, they're very concerning to me. And I'm listening to you, Katie, and I'm going to bring you right back here, but I know my audience wants to know certain things. For instance, one out of the 33 of these baby food manufacturers, is there a list? Where's that list? And how can our audience follow you, Katie, to get this information? We're coming right back. I think this is one of the most important segments we've ever done. This is impacting every one of our lives here in this country. By the way, this crosses all political lines. This is about the health of America, and I think Katie is the right voice to give us guidance here. We'll be right back. I think we have one of the brightest minds today that we've had, in a long time on this particular subject matter. Katie is just fantastic. We're going to give you more of her, at least her organization. I love this organization, by the way. And we're going to make sure that everything that she has is going to be available to you. But I want to go straight into just a quick soundbite here. This is a clip. I want you to see this. And we're going to ask Katie to comment on this. Let's go to the clip.
Lab to table has arrived, with the U.S. now the second country to approve the sale of what's called cultivated meat. That's meat grown from live animal cells and cultivated with nutrients and amino acids in a giant vat, kind of like you'd find at a brewery. Supporters say it will help fight climate change by reducing the need for traditional animal agriculture, like cows, which emit greenhouse gases which warm the planet. But hey, how does it taste?
It'll taste exactly as you would expect a chicken to taste. So the part that's remarkable about it is we didn't have to raise and slaughter a chicken to get real chicken meat out of it. And the part that's unremarkable is that it tastes like chicken. It's what we've been used to eating for thousands of years.
Katie, I'm sorry. My mind is just flying here. I see something this bizarre. What would stop them, Katie? Let me just go here. What would stop them from putting a vaccine in that meat?
Nothing would stop them from putting a vaccine in that meat, but nothing's stopping, you know, our agriculture farmers from putting vaccines in our current meat, and vaccines are in our meat. So who are we kidding? I mean, it's funny because when I was the White House health staffer under President Trump for a few years, and I worked with that gentleman and his company because they were trying to get their product regulated, and I had to mediate this huge jihad between USDA and FDA, who were both fighting over who was going to regulate this product. And ultimately, you know, we had to pick a side, but then they went to Congress. I mean, these interests are so powerful, these agricultural interests, and you know, you had the big cattlemen and the poultry farmers and the pork farmers that were fighting against this product, and you understand why, but their products aren't any safer. So, I mean, you know, the only way that you can really get safe meat is to order it from a regenerative farm, because our conventional agriculture is dangerous too. So both of these agencies are totally corrupt. It doesn't matter which one regulates these new scary space-age products, because they're not going to protect us. No one's going to save us from the FDA and the USDA, who are supposed to be saving us from these big corporate interests.
You know, Katie is the executive director of the Lions Health, and I'm listening at you, Katie, and I'm looking at this gentleman, and I'm looking at the research that we've done here and the places that we spoke on this, and again, I think it was just a proverbial moment there. He said, well, wait, vaccines are already in our food. Of course, I know that, but I wanted to take this moment because here's what's going on. We think of vaccines in our food for, quote, all the good reasons that there may be. By the way, my parents and parents' parents, They didn't have any of these problems. The kids didn't have any of the problems. I didn't see some sort of surge of what we call, I don't know, attention deficit disorder. If we did, our parents had a very unique way to make sure that we didn't exercise poor behavior, whether in private and or public. But it takes me here, Katie. What then would prohibit them, these corporations, from putting any kind of vaccine in our food? And I'm thinking more of a COVID vaccine. Is that already happening? Should our...
It's already in the works. Yeah, it's already in the works, Aubrey. And the mRNA vaccines are just a platform. They're just a vehicle to deliver any, you know, virus particle or antibody or protein. You can code for anything in mRNA. And so the companies are already looking to produce veterinary mRNA vaccines, and I believe they've already started. It's really scary.
Yeah, you know it is. I was speaking, and I speak often with Dr. Peter McCullough on a lot of various topics, this being one of them. What can our public do? I mean, again, we know that we should reach out to our senators, reach out to our representatives and say, hey, let's put a mandate. I get it. I understand how this great republic was formed. And unfortunately, there is such a low IQ among so many of our youth, even amongst a lot of our adults that don't understand that we're being taken advantage of here. And I don't see the real will, the passion, or the type of tenacity that you have and others have. Speak directly now to our audience in that regard. What should they be doing, Katie?
So what you need to be doing is not relying on the government to help you, protect you, or, you know, save you from these companies, and to assume that the products that you can buy in a grocery store are not safe. You should assume that. You should assume that they are responsible, at least in part, for the dramatic health problems and cognitive problems among our children and now our adults. I mean, we've had generations of this now. And so you should assume that. You should assume that seed oils are industrialized seed oils. Well, the FDA covered up the damage that fluoride was causing, and the HHS department covered that up for years and years before finally, under court mandate, releasing that report. So just assume that nothing is safe and that the only way for you to protect your family and the ones you love is to seek like-minded resources out there, like regenerative farms, like homeschooling, like healthcare that's provided, you know, by like-minded people, like healthcare sharing ministries or faith-based doctors offering direct primary care. Even that, you know, seeking naturopathic care and other alternative healthcare systems, because we've got to band together as like-minded people. We're out there, Aubrey. You know, it feels lonely, but we're there. There are organizations and chapters, local chapters in every state in the union of people who are standing up for these types of reforms. You can also get to know your local and state legislators. You know, they're sometimes easier to get to than your federal representatives, and they regulate milk, whether you have to have, you know, milk that's been heated beyond all recognition and ruined all the proteins in it, you know, called pasteurization, or whether you're allowed to get, whether small farmers are allowed to use small processors, or if they have to take their meat, their livestock to giant processing plants. You know, these are local rules and regulations. So get to them, focus on them. There's a Weston A. Price Foundation chapter in almost every community. They focus on saving children from these industrial products and helping parents and families to choose alternative paths for nutrition and for other healthy lifestyles.
Is Alliance of Health, have you guys done, I don't know, is there a compilation of what you're talking about? Is it out on your website? Would our audience be able to go out and say, oh, my God, here it is finally. Here's this navigational piece that's going to give us direction. Or are you guys collaborating with someone, Katie, that's out there that you could point us to say, hey, look, here's some great places. Here's where we can start. Here's where, I don't know, maybe some of us can even unite. Does that exist with your organization?
Yes, you can definitely go to our website and you can find everything you need to know about healthcare sharing ministries. There are our member ministries are great resources for how to stay healthy, but also how to finance your healthcare bills if you have them, God forbid, and more of us are having them these days. If you have them, you want to band together with other Christian believers and share each other's load in that way without having to rely on corrupt health insurance companies or corrupt giant hospital systems are price gouging everybody. So, you know, and these are supposed charities that are nonprofit hospitals, right? So we have those resources on our website. For all the other agricultural issues, I would go to the Weston A. Price Foundation website, westonaprice.org.
You know, Katie, again, the body of work you're doing is incredible, and I'm looking to bring together Forum pretty soon. I really hope that you'll consider joining that live Forum as well. We have a really great outreach, and we're impacting a lot, and there are a lot of individuals that follow us. I guarantee you, the moment I post just a portion of this clip right here, within literally an hour or two, there'll be over 20, 30,000 hits on this simply because what you're saying is registering. People are aware. People are looking at the bottom line, and I'm not talking about just the increase as it relates to inflation. I'm talking about the bottom line of their health. They're looking and they know something is wrong. We did not have these things when we were kids. We ate very, very different. It was just a different dynamic, and now we're looking at this, what I call overreach by our government. That is obviously, you echoed it well. Unfortunately, that is tied into these larger corporations that are making sure they're kind of navigating the ship here. Again, Katie, before I leave, please take a moment, share with our audience, where can our audience find you, Katie?
Yes, you can go to www.ahcsm.org. That's Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries.org. You can find me on Twitter at Katie Talento, Katie with a Y, and you can find me on LinkedIn.
Katie Talento, you are one of our champions already, and I mean that with all of my heart. We're going to make sure that all of Katie's info is pasted everywhere.
How about that? How about that? You thought I was, you thought I wasn't here? I was tuning in with you, folks. I, as I said earlier in the program, I know that there is a quickening that's taking place right now, a quickening of our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. And we can come together and make a difference, folks. And so you can reach out to me at productivenews@outlook.com. I will get you Katie's information, AHCSM website, westonaprice.org, to get that information so that you can be empowered to protect yourself, your loved ones, and help make a difference in our society. Because what's going on in your core, in your fiber, if not in your conscious mind, which I know is so indoctrinated with what's on mainstream, especially if you're finding yourself tuning into one ideologue or another, which you in good conscience cannot do. And don't let anyone tell you that you're not something if you're not for them. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't black if you don't vote for me. That is the one of the most egregious, and so many people bought into it. And we find out that this guy is compromised with a country that embraces slavery, not to mention many other things that are egregious to the spirit and the soul. And this is nothing against the people of China. I know so many, and I mean that without trying to be stereotypical, that are loving, peaceful. But the leadership that runs the CCP, folks, they're not in our interest. And the goal is to overtake America. My perspective, my open, honest, and thank you, God, to be in America, rightful perspective. That concludes our program for this evening. I hope you'll go back and listen to it. I hope you'll tell someone else about Productive News Weekly and what we're trying to do, and yet we don't find ourselves airing at 6:30 or 6:35 every week, but we're airing, and you can always go to our streaming site, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and you can listen to all our programs consistently over the last 7 or 6 years. And they're all listed by topic, by guest, by date. We appreciate you. For you to just be tuning in, whether I'm talking to you live or in the future, which I so find that interesting, that I know that at some point I'm talking to someone who is tuning in after the fact. The information is just as valuable. Thank you again for tuning in to Productive News Weekly. We'll be here again next week, folks, while we'll be coming to you live under a blue moon. That's right. They say every now and then there's a blue moon. Well, next Thursday is a blue moon, which simply means you have 2 full moons within the same month. So we'll be having something very special for you on that program. Do tune in. Tell someone about Productive News Weekly. And compare to what? That was our opening bumper tune, in case you tuned in late, of course, by the late, great Eddie Harris and Les McCann, of course, covered by so many, including John Legend, it's just been covered by, you know, so many individuals, but a great tune, and that's what we opened up with this evening, being done by Al Jarreau, the great Al Jarreau. So with that said, tell someone that you care about, that you love them, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring for you, for them, or for all of us. With that said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, folks. And don't get caught up by the hype. What's going on in the politics of this country is nothing less than that of a fascist society, a banana republic society. Don't believe the hype. God bless. Love you. And, well, I just believe that we're going to be okay. We are okay, in fact. And just remember also, everything is energy, and energy is everything. And what's the greatest energy on the planet? It's love. I'm going to close out with some Frankie Beverly. Peace and blessings.